Stubbing a Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. World Series later tonight. I am very pumped. But first, got to do some battling with Joe Rexroad, who is with us. Hello, Joseph. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, I'm a little ticked off because today during company trivia, I felt like Caroline's complaining led to me not getting the free day off that I believe your team got, right?
Yeah, because we dominated.
I will say this.
Did you forget that part?
Joe kicked some serious rear end in trivia today. Now, it was 80s, 90s trivia, so it was like right in Joe's wheelhouse, not exactly in Caroline's. But we have a debate that we need you to settle before we start debating. And that is that did Caroline's complaining, did I hit the bell first when Caroline claimed to have hit the bell first that made us restart the game and thus cost my team the chance to have the extra day off?
I mean, look, I hate to be Switzerland, but I really have no idea. I really don't know.
I think he means that I was first.
Oh, hush.
I'll go with Caroline. Yeah, let's go with Caroline.
Thanks, Joe. Okay. I appreciate that.
All right.
You just won yourself some brownie points.
In one corner, we have the man from the Midwest who loves Michigan State and will be rooting hard for them this week in their game against Michigan. The man who can't stop talking about bumper music on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Rexroad. And in the winning corner.
Oh, there is no winning corner. We're just in the other corner.
In the other corner, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Modest himself, Jared Still.
I'm nauseous. A wave of nausea just came over my entire body.
Stillman versus Joe Rexroad. Now on Stillman and Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
First and foremost, the Predators snapped their 102.
I thought you were going to ask about Steely Dan first.
Oh no, that's Joe's thing.
Oh, okay.
Joe likes Steely Dan.
Although Joe
we
did kill us
Steely
on
Dan.
Joe did kill us on 80s and 90s trivia today.
He did. And to be fair, I think the median age at our table was much younger than any other table out there.
Because it was myself, old man at your table.
Myself and Michelle. And then Robbie and Ian. We were all like the younger ones of the crew. So I think that we deserve a recount for that one. But getting down to business, the Predators have snapped their 192-game sellout streak. Is this a bad sign for the team moving forward, or is this just an unfortunate coincidence given that the World Series was last night? Joe, you go first.
Well, I don't think it's an unfortunate coincidence. I think it's reality. I think it's reality of a fan base that it's still a young fan base. It's a fan base that I think grew markedly, I would say, 4 years ago with the Stanley Cup run. A fan base that has been treated to some really good teams and high expectations and postseason runs, showing some apathy and showing some, you know, discontent with the way things have gone. I mean, I think this was inevitable. So, I mean, I think that's a reality of what we'll see this season. I think we're going to see some empty seats in there. I think we have in every game. I don't know that it's a bad sign necessarily. It's reality of when the team starts going down. Look, it's expensive to go to professional sports anymore. I mean, and you can look at attendance in just about anything. The top college football programs. I mean, Nick Saban sometimes has complained about empty seats at Alabama football games. It is more and more increasingly people would rather just be home with the home theater and not spend all that money. And you got to really work hard to draw people to your games. I think the Preds do a very good job of that, but the product's got to be better if you want to fill that place.
I think that this was a necessary step backwards for the Predators. I mean, last year it was like, why are they not selling at the trade deadline? And there was kind of this disgust, but no one ever would put their name to it, kind of belief that they really wanted to host some home playoff games last year. And like a lot of us in the media couldn't believe it, because like, what does one round of the playoffs really do for your big picture? Here they're playing young guys, and when you play young guys, you're probably going to lose. So I felt like this is natural that they were going to have this when you are used to President's Trophy or Stanley Cup talk. You know, the Braves can't sell out anything, and now the lowest ticket for the World Series is $1,000. So I think this is kind of the natural ecosystem of pro sports. I don't think the vaccine or COVID test mandate helped, but I also don't think it hurt. Like, people that are going to be like, somebody texted the text line. I was like, go woke, go broke. I'm like, I don't think that's an issue. There's a ton of tickets for the Titans against the Texans in a couple of weeks, and I don't think the Titans have anything like that. So I think it's just basically like a necessary step for the Predators to get to where they want to be.
On to the next one. Jayon Brown listed on the designated to return list for the Titans. Jared and I talked about this briefly earlier in the show, but Jared, you go first. If Jayon Brown is healthy, do you play him against Indianapolis? And if so, who are you pulling?
If he's healthy, I would activate him and I would have him active. I would not, though, put him in the game right now against Indianapolis over either middle linebacker. I mean, I think David Long Jr., and I don't know if like special is the right word to use for David Long Jr., but I think what you're seeing from David Long Jr. is what you kind of saw last year, 2 years ago from Jonnu Smith, where it was like, hey, this guy's a player. He may not be a great player. He may not go to the Pro Bowl, but he is a player. And I don't think Brown's had moments like that, but I think his injury history makes it hard for me to, you know, really look at him as that kind of player. I do think that there are situations where he's better for you than Rashawn Evans, but with a team that runs the ball with Jonathan Taylor, I think I'd leave Rashawn Evans on the football field in the game Sunday. So, I mean, he'll come in passing situations maybe, but I do think I'd have him active. You're only one injury away from needing him. And Jayon Brown's a better player than Avery Williamson or anybody else at that middle linebacker spot. But I do think that David Long Jr. has firmly taken his spot.
Yeah, look, I frankly agree. I mean, Jayon Brown will be useful in some matchups. Actually, had he been totally healthy, I think the Chiefs, that's a perfect example of a team where Brown and Long together might be really effective. David Long is not coming off the field. He has more than earned the right to be out there in all situations because he makes plays in all situations at every level. Worked really hard on his coverage, and it's coming together for him. He's becoming a really good player. Rashawn Evans this Sunday, this is his type of game. This is why you still have a quote-unquote box linebacker on why there's still a need for that, because you play teams like the Colts, or if you're another team, because you play teams like the Titans. So I suspect the way things have gone, it seems like usually that first week of practice doesn't lead to being active the next Sunday anyway. But down the road, I've thought for weeks now that Long Brown could end up being a really effective middle tandem, especially against teams that are more pass-oriented, which is most of the league.
Do you have a rebuttal, or shall we move on to the next?
No, we just agreed.
Okay. Third one, true or false, Joe, you start. If the Titans beat the Colts, they've locked up the AFC South.
False. But it's not true, Jared. I mean, way crazier things have happened than the Titans being up 3 with a sweep over a team. And
so 4.
Fumbling it away. Right. But again, with 9 games to play, I mean, way crazier things than that have happened in this league. Would it be about 95% done? Yeah. I mean, I think if you're Indy, you've got to think more in terms of just scrambling to find a way to get in as the 7 in the AFC picture. But I wouldn't print up a hat if I were the Titans yet. I wouldn't print up a T-shirt, you know, because you could have a devastating injury. I mean, they've had a ton of them already. You could just keep having this stream of injuries, and eventually it could affect you. And the Colts have had an unbelievably tough schedule here in the first half. It does get better for them. They have a couple more real tough ones too after this, but I wouldn't be totally over. It would be close.
I think it would be over by simple math, and that is that you'd have a 4-game lead. They still have Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Arizona. And even if they win one of those games, you would have to assume that the Patriots, the Raiders, you know, like one of those games would be given back. I think they're going to lose those three games. Buffalo, Tampa Bay, Arizona. I don't even think on their best day the Colts can beat those three teams. That would give them 9 losses. All the Titans would have to do is beat Jacksonville and Houston twice, and then you'd be tied with Indianapolis if you don't win another game. And so, to me, I think it's pretty obvious that between the Saints, the Steelers, the Patriots, the 49ers, they're going to win one of those games, the Titans are, and they're definitely going to win the two Houstons and the Jacksonville. So now Indy would have to go and steal a Buffalo, Tampa, or Arizona game, and I just don't think that that's likely at all. That's on top of winning all the other games, which would include New England and the Raiders, where I'm not sure they'd be favored in those games. And I think that the Colts honestly don't have a roster that's good enough to be able to pull themselves out of that kind of mess. Like the 1-4 Titans were in a mess, but they hadn't played anybody in the division, so they swept the division, and they had a team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years prior. This team doesn't have that, so I feel like the division is over. I will say this, print up the hats and the t-shirts if they win on Sunday.
The idea that they have no chance to win any of those three games on their best day, I mean, look, at least you're being consistent. You're consistently underrating this team. This is a good roster. This is a team that went out and took it to Baltimore on the road. They blew it. They blew it. Lamar Jackson was incredible. You watch how they look at how they've played the last few weeks. They went out in San Francisco and just, I mean, that was very impressive, that win. Carson Wentz is running around now.
How were you impressed with that win?
Because they played well. They were in a nasty, mucky condition on the road against a solid football team.
Here's what happened in that game Sunday night. They realized two things that San Francisco didn't. One was, you can't really throw the ball in this weather. So what do? They threw the ball up in the air to their wide receivers for jump balls, and the 49ers were too dumb to realize what they were doing, and they tackled the guy before the ball got there, and they got pass interference calls. The other thing is, Jimmy Garoppolo might as well have been playing for the other team, because he couldn't realize that you can't fit the ball in a tight window in that weather. He kept trying to do it, and he kept fitting it right into the hands of Colts players. I did not walk away from that game thinking, hey, that's impressive by Indy. The one thing I thought Indy proved in that game is I think that left side of the line with Fisher and Nelson might develop to be pretty good. But all in all, I walked away from that thinking, man, San Francisco played that game so dumb and Jimmy played it so terribly. And I have nothing positive to say about the Colts other than the left side of the offensive line from that game.
Yeah, it's got to be the other team that sucks. Look, I mean, you like celebrated when Wentz was signed. I mean, Wentz is
because it's Halloween, and I think the division might be over. That's why I celebrated.
Yeah, okay. Well, like, you knew that he'd be playing against the Titans, unable to move. They had to wheel him out there and say, hey, Carson, stand there and throw carefully, okay? Just walk back gingerly to the huddle. Look, the Colts
How did you not know that was a possibility with him?
Sure, but he's healthy now, and he's running around now. And even in those nasty conditions, he made some plays. Yeah, they went up and threw some back shoulder throws and got PIs on with Pittman. I mean, that's smart football. They've got a solid, sound defense. I do think Julian Blackman tearing his Achilles is brutal for the Colts, but they have a real shot here to beat the Titans. Look, if they don't, it's basically over. It's just, you know, it's basically over. I just wouldn't say it is completely over. I just have serious doubts that that's going to happen. I think there's a real good chance it's a one-game situation after Sunday.
Coming up next, we got more Jared versus Joe. We will do that next here on Stillman & Company. TriStar Moving, my official movers. I moved with TriStar Moving a year ago, and it was one of the best experiences I've ever had, period. And it was definitely the best experience that I've ever had moving. I hate moving. But with TriStar Moving, you get five-star movers. TriStar Movers with five-star service. They are the best. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, hold a very high standard for their moving, and they care very deeply because they're true Nashvillians. So they want to welcome you to the Music City if you're not from here, or if you're from here, they want to take care of you the Nashville way. I was so glad that I moved with TriStar. Everything was taken care of perfectly. No scratches in the old home, no problems in the new one. I love TriStar Moving, so give them a call today. Again, that's TriStar Moving, online, Nashville Moving. trymoving.org/radio. That's TriStar Moving with 5-star service. Nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you at TriStar Moving for 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, my official movers. Stillman and Company, Jared versus Joe, round number 2. Joe Rexroad is with us. So, Caroline, we get right back to it.
Let's get into the thick of it.
Yes, Ian. I got to give a shout-out to Ian. We'll see Let's go.
Joe, oh, my God. Oh. So the audience doesn't understand this. And I'm going to offend a lot of people in this industry right now. And I'm not sure I'm going to care. There is nothing that gets up my keister more than hearing bump music talk. So when they, like, play a song, the songs that return when we come from break, I think Ian plays the same ones every day. I don't even know what they are or what they aren't, and I never talk about them, and I never think about them because I have a job to do, right? Like, if you go into Chipotle to get a burrito, you don't listen to the music and, like, say, oh, sorry, I can't make your burrito right now because this Christina Aguilera song just came on the overhead speaker at Chipotle, so I need to do my genie in a bottle dance moves.
Oh, that is a great song, though.
But
it's a good song.
For some reason, radio sports radio hosts think it's like their God-given right to be like, oh yeah, this is some good Guns N' Roses coming back from break. Like, dude, get to work. It just drives me insane. And Joe the other day spent 8-minute segment. I kid you not. 3 minutes on Steely Dan, 5 minutes on the Titans, Joe said that it broke his heart that Mark Howard didn't like Steely Dan, and I had to text Joe, and I said, it breaks my heart that you're talking about bumper music in the middle of drive time.
And by the way, how much time of ours did you just waste with that crap?
That's a fair rebuttal.
I had to make the point because I knew what Joe was doing. You know what I mean? Like, I knew what Joe was doing by saying, way to go, Ian. I knew what he was doing.
You made your point.
So I had to explain to the audience. I had to, you know, let them in on why I was so worked up. Go ahead, Carol.
Thank you for doing that. They're better for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think they feel better about it. I think I know where both of you stand on this, but I haven't heard you talk about it together. So I'd like to bring it to the table now while I can.
Okay.
Evan Engram to the Titans. Joe, I know you went first last time, but I want to hear your thoughts on this first. Do you think that that is a possible trade that the Titans could or should make?
Honestly, that's not one that I had even really considered much. I wouldn't do it. You know, I think if you can find a decent player at a low price right now, and I'm thinking more along the lines of corner, and I'm not even totally sure you need to do that, but it wouldn't be a terrible thing to have another corner that you feel decent about in the rotation. I understand that tight end has been an issue for sure, but that to me seems a little pricey. I would say no. I mean, look, the Titans, one thing they really need, I mean, look, they obviously didn't make enough moves that they should have drafted someone, I think, at tight end for sure. They need Anthony Firkser to get healthy. I absolutely watch him out there right now. It's not the same guy who was in camp. And I'm not saying he's going to come out and be, you know, like Kevin Byard said, he's going to be like Delanie Walker and Jonnu Smith combined or whatever. But he's better than we've seen this year. They need that to materialize. But I would not make a trade for someone like that.
I said this earlier last hour. Hayden Hurst is the only one that makes sense for me. You don't have to give up anything to get him. He's gone at the end of the year. He's no use to his current team, even though they're not very good. And he already knows your offense. That one seems pretty standard to me. And he's better than the three tight ends you have. Evan Engram is kind of an injury risk. He's kind of a catching the ball risk. He doesn't know your offense. He's going to cost too much. Like, I think that's too much at this point in the year. I'm not a huge trading guy. I'm like, what piece is out there that knows what you do that can come in right now and help? I think Hayden Hurst is that guy. I'll give you an example. New Orleans just traded for Mark Engram at running back because they need help at running back, I guess, and Mark Engram knows what they do. So, to me, I don't think bringing in a guy at this point in the year who doesn't know what you do makes a whole lot of sense.
Okay, coming up next, the NFL draft.
Wait, Joe, do you like the Hayden Hurst?
Yeah, actually, I do. I'm almost sickened by how much we're agreeing on this segment.
This is a very civil Jared versus Joe. Is one of you sick?
I got cheated earlier today, so my angst is maybe somewhere else.
Oh, that's fine.
I'm kidding.
You're welcome, Joe. I'll absorb the angst for the day. NFL trade deadline coming up on Tuesday. Is Deshaun Watson out of Houston by then? Jared, you go first.
Dude, I don't know.
It's pretty crazy.
Like, I don't, I mean, today, just the John McClain report that the owner of the Dolphins wants Watson to settle these cases before he makes the trade, and Watson doesn't want to settle. It's like, that, I mean, like, that's some pretty life-altering stuff.
Yeah.
That you're talking about in the span of a week that they have to make it. And I think Roger Goodell yesterday basically said that Deshaun Watson's not going to get in trouble. So if Miami does trade for him, he can play. Now, that's trouble with the league. That's not trouble with the cops, which I think is a big risk. And I don't know, like, what the conditions would be on the trade or things like that. I mean, this to me is a total 50. I'm going to say yes, only because if it's already gotten to the point to where the Panthers are out, their owner told Ian Rappaport that he's out. And he's only out because Watson won't accept a trade there. That means that Watson said he'll waive it for Miami, and Miami is clearly in the mix. If we know that, if John McClain is reporting that the owner said, hey, settle this and you're my quarterback, that they'll probably figure something out somewhere, somehow, and Deshaun Watson will probably be with the Dolphins next week.
Well, Watson wants Miami. I mean, that's been the case all along, and you know, I mean, that's the place that he's wanted reportedly. I'm kind of the same. I hate to. This is way too much agreement, but I'm about the same way. I don't know. I'm down the middle. I guess no, because ultimately it's just such a big move and such a risk. And like you said, what are the protections? What kind of assurances can you have? But I won't be surprised at all if it happens. It's a wild situation for sure. So gosh, this is awful.
It is awful.
This is gross.
Here's my issue, though.
Like, it might have to be a tie.
In a practical world, it would make no sense to trade for Deshaun Watson. Like, it makes absolutely no sense for everything that you're going to give up to bring in Deshaun Watson to play quarterback when he's facing allegations from 22 women. It makes no sense in any job for anything. It's like, hey, should we bring Bobby in to run the concession stands at the ballpark? Nope, he's facing 22 sexual misconduct allegations. I think we can have somebody else do that.
And yet, Deshaun Watson is not just some quarterback. I mean, that's why you do it.
But what you have to give up is way more, too. Well, I mean, like,
that's the whole key business.
If you give up 3 first-round picks, 2 players, and another pick, and it doesn't work, you don't have a quarterback, and you don't have any means of getting one for forever.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I mean, hey, I mean, it's like not practical in anything else. And yet, I think 51% it's going to happen. Just is insane.
Yeah, it's insane. And I'm with you. I don't think that he's in Houston by next week. It's just not a move that I would ever make because you're risking so much. You're giving up so much. And you run the risk of ostracizing some of your fans and making such a bold move like that.
Who won?
Well, you two, you agreed too much. And you've been bugging me today. So, Joe, you win.
Oh, that is so crap. Oh,
that's
my
That's perfectly
goodness.
Fine reasoning.
Thank you. Yep, that's all. That's perfectly really all I got reasoning. For you this week.
Unbelievable. Joe Rexroad, as always, Joe, we appreciate you. And
W's all day long, baby. Fly the
dub.
Eat
a dub.
Eat a dub. I guess. There you go. The one that got me was the Reggie Jackson answer that Joe hit out of the park on trivia, and I was right there on it, and I just wanted to hear the name Reggie Jackson, and then I was going to bang that bell, and Joe hit it earlier, so who knows. Appreciate you, Joe.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep. Joe Rex wrote a little Jared versus Joe. I got to be honest, while today is everybody, you know, I'm going to say take shots at Caroline Day, but I mean, you got to pick some topics that we're going to disagree on now.
Well, I'm trying my best. I try to pick topics that I think that you two will disagree on.
How about Joe's crazy take that the Chief fans had more fans than the Bills?
I can't. I cannot address the percentage of fans in the stadium with Joe anymore. I cannot.
You're done with that?
I'm done with that because Joe is so delusional in his little castle in the press box, and he's sitting pretty in his air conditioning with his free food and doesn't have any idea how many fans are in those stands. I cannot talk to Joe anymore about fan percentages.
Speaking of not having an idea, there is something, and I usually have my pulse on this city pretty well. I'm from here, been on the radio long enough, know what I'm doing in radio, that kind of stuff, that I have a pretty good pulse. But there's something that I'm not completely sure of, how much people are in or out. I want to get to that next here on Stillman & Company. Focus, that's right. I would say energy drink, but when I say energy drink, you think of something that's got all these like fake, you know, sweeteners in it and crazy caffeine here and some things that I don't even know how to pronounce in it as well. Not Focus, that's right. Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com. Focus has that natural tea caffeine. So it's all natural. It's sparkling water with a spark. It just tastes like sparkling water, but it's got that caffeine in there. Had Focus, had a big day today, knew it was going to be a lot, so I made sure to drink my Focus this morning. And your body needs water, so it doesn't need to be boring. That's why I love Focus. Give it a try. You can go to your local Publix, and they have it right there. I went to Publix the other day, and I got the peach. In fact, if you're looking at the stream right now, I have just pulled out my peach Focus right here. And they says, you know, you can call it sparkling water, or you can call it a naturally energizing, brain-focusing, taste-tantalizing hydrator, which I can say I believe because I drink Focus, and I had it this morning. Go to drinkfocus.com, P-H-O-C-U-S. Go to drinkfocus.com and enter promo code GAME at checkout for 15% off your first order and have it delivered right to your door. Get rid of the fake sweeteners, the fake energy, the crash, the sugar, the calories. Get rid of all that. Focus, P-H-O-C-U-S, drinkfocus.com.
The shift is on for the Astros. Altuve around to the left of second. And now the 2-0 and a swing and a ball hit to deep left field. And Atlanta strikes early. Soler lines a rocket into the Crawford boxes. And three pitches into game one of the World Series, the Braves have a 1-0 lead.
So I picked the Braves to win last night, but I didn't think it was going to be like that. First play of the game, bang, home run. As everybody knows, I am a diehard Braves fan. I went to the World Series last time they were in it in 1999, and I remember the feeling sitting along the first baseline when Chipper Jones hit a home run, which was their only run in game number one. They blew it in the eighth inning, and they lost to the Yankees, and they lost in four games. Last night, Braves brought out the sticks. I thought it was awesome. I thought the game took too long. And I say that as kind of a neutral observer. But I wonder this question, and I won't know this until, you know, Mike Organ or whomever reports this, whoever gets this information. What were the local television ratings from last night's game? Because I do wonder this. I've got a pretty good pulse on the town. Like, I know when people care about the Vols and what they care about when it comes to the Vols. I know what people care about with the Titans and when it comes to the Titans. I know that if you want to talk about what people care about with the Titans, talk about them being contenders for the Super Bowl, Derrick Henry, or Julio Jones. That's what people want to talk about. I don't understand why everybody's so obsessed with Julio Jones, but they are. I know what people care about when it comes to the Predators. And I know when, in 2018, Floyd and I, for the first time ever, this radio station took over the 4 o'clock hour. And people were like, wow. But it was because we saw the reaction when the Predators were the best team in the league and how much people listened to it. So we just kept talking it. Other shows and other stations were doing what they had always done. And we were like, no. Everything tells us that these people don't care about college basketball. They care about the Preds. So we did. I do wonder how much the people of Nashville care about the World Series. I would say on average, of the 5 years I've been doing this, the people of Nashville did not care about one World Series except for the one that the Cubs won. That was one where we had topics and calls and Floyd cared about it, kinda, and I was kinda stunned when the Cubs won the World Series. Other than that, I mean, they have not cared about the Astros and the Dodgers. They have not cared about the Dodgers and the Rays. They have not cared about the Astros and the Nationals. They haven't cared about any of that. And you can tell. It's like a topic on Tannehill or that. But the Braves are the local team. I mean, in all seriousness, if Nashville was a pie of what teams people care about, the Braves would be the majority pie. I think followed by the Cubs, then followed by the Yankees / Red Sox, then maybe the Cardinals, then the Reds and everybody else. But I still don't know if it moves the needle or not here in town. What do you think?
It's tough because this isn't a city that has a baseball team, and it's a city full of a lot of transplants who bring their own team interests to this city. But this city feels predominantly like a Braves city. There are some Reds fans, some Cardinals fans, people who moved from wherever else, or people who may be from here and they had allegiances to the Yankees because they liked Derek Jeter growing up, whatever it may be. But I think it being a predominantly Braves fan city makes people care about it. And I think having the Sounds here makes people care about baseball. I think having what?
The Sounds?
What, like going to games? I mean, like going to games for me growing up was what made me care about baseball moving forward when I got older.
Where did you live, though?
Okay, yeah, that's fair. I lived in a baseball city.
You lived in a pro town that had the most popular local team in America.
Okay, yes, that's true.
That is not the same as having a AAA team.
I don't think that having the Sounds hurts baseball interest in the city.
I don't think it hurts, but I don't think that like the Sounds play any bit. Like the fact that nobody cares when it's the Astros and the Dodgers, like I think that that has nothing to do with the Sounds. Just like if more people are excited about it when the Braves are in there.
I'm just talking about baseball interest in general.
So here's my thing about every sport that's not the NFL. I think that every sport is popular on a local level and it struggles nationally. Like, I don't think, you know, NBA big personalities, I think sometimes play like LeBron, but I'm not sure that it plays like the way it used to. Same with baseball, same with hockey, same with all these other sports. That's why, like, I look at this and I'm like, do the Braves move the needle here that enough people in Nashville see the Braves as their team and thus they're like, yes, that's my team.
More so than any other team. So, yes.
But more so that, like, because it is the World Series. It is not like it is a Tuesday.
I mean, if this was a regular season, it's July 12th and the Braves are playing the Marlins or the Mariners. No, I don't think people want to hear us talk about the Braves for even a segment. This is the World Series, and this is a team that I think we can both agree, like, this city is predominantly a Braves city. So if they don't care about it now, they're not ever going to care about it. And I think that they do care.
I think they care too. Like, I really do think they care. Like, the Midday Show had Tom Glavine on today, and I'm like, I heard that. I think people want to hear what Tom Glavine has to say. But I don't know. And then I will say this. I thought the game last night, you know what really got me last night about last night's game? Dusty Baker, when he would go to the mound and, like, do the high school stall for, like, the pitcher to warm up.
Yeah.
Like, bro, this is the big leagues. And I think
and this is the World Series.
If I'm Major League Baseball, I think I'd tell Dusty in no uncertain terms that the second that you walk towards that mound, if you do this again, I'm sending the umpire right there after you, and he's making you make that change right then and there. This idea of, you know, let's send the catcher to go talk to the pitcher, and so the catcher's talking to the pitcher. Okay, now the umpire says, come back, catcher. Now Dusty takes a 45-minute stroll to the mound, and he makes the change. And he stands there and talks to the pitcher until the umpire makes him make the change. And then he makes the change. And then the pitcher comes in. That game, somebody tweeted this out yesterday. In 1991, game four of the World Series was 4 hours and 12 minutes, which I think was kind of equal to, if not less, than last night's game.
That's
went
too
12
long.
Innings.
That's too long.
12 innings. Like, come on, baseball. Like, hurry it up. And I think that, and like the crazy part is baseball knows this is their problem too.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to do anything about it.
No.
It's wild. It's like, it's just.
I also do wonder if there's a little element here that a lot of people have such resentment toward the Houston Astros for 2017 that everyone's just cheering for the Braves to beat them.
I think that's probably the case. I don't know. Like, I do wonder what the TV ratings around the country will say. They'll be much higher than 2020. But they probably won't be, like, astronomical or anything like that.
You know, they're going to be record-breaking.
Had the Yankees or the Red Sox gotten in and you had Braves, Yankees, Braves, Red Sox, I think you could have had a huge...
Or if you had Dodgers, Red Sox?
No, nah, I think people are tired of the Dodgers.
Like, they already... think that you're just a Braves homer.
No, they had that series 2 years ago. The Rays were terrible. So, or 3 years ago. I don't think that that would have moved the needle out. I think the Dodgers don't. I think there's like Dodger fatigue. They've been in this a lot. So, I mean, I just personally think that if you'd had the Yankees and the Braves, like, I think you'd have had huge ratings, in large part because of the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Or even the Red Sox, like, they would have brought huge ratings. And then people would have sold it as baseball's on the come up, baseball's back, baseball's this. And I don't think they're going to get that this year. I do think, though, that more people around the country, I do think people do want to watch the Braves around the country. Especially because, to your point, they hate the Astros. But mm-hmm. I think here in Nashville, I don't know. I wonder what the difference between game one of 2019, Houston, Washington, local rating on Fox, will be between game one last night. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. I see you all loading up on the text line, so maybe we'll hit a couple of those. And we've got Caroline's, where we'll pick game number two tonight, and we'll do that next. Boland Branch, that's right. Few guys value anything more than just a perfect sleep. And if you're going to do that, you need to have great sheets. That's why I love my Boland Branch sheets. They are so light and so comfortable, and I just absolutely love them. And if you go to BolandBranch.com, you will too. If you dream at night of a comfortable sheet at a price that will not keep you up, look no further than Boland Branch. And I absolutely love the fact that they're so soft and so comfortable, and they are very sustainable. Comfort, sustainability, quality, and all at a fair price. They've got their signature hymn sheets from Boll & Branch, which are a bestseller for a reason. And Boll & Branch's signature sheets come in 7 beautiful colors and in all sizes, from twins to California King. Get 20% off your first set of sheets when you use the promo code Jared, J-A-R-E-D, at checkout. That's BollandBranch.com, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, Branch.com, promo code Jared. Yesterday, I picked the Braves to beat the Astros because I felt Charlie Morton was a big-game pitcher. There is a stat that is worrying me about tonight's game for the Braves. Can I tell it to you?
Sure thing.
So, I'm a big believer in, like, the clutch gene, and I'm a big believer in, like, some dudes got it and some dudes don't. Like, mm-hmm. when it comes to a big game, a big spot, a big moment.
Shower uppers.
I feel like Tom Brady has 7 Super Bowls because he's got it. Peyton Manning, who has had great stats, great career, great quarterback, great in his prime where he carried the team, won 1 Super Bowl, and it was when he beat Rex Grossman and the Chicago Bears. Like, Peyton might have it, but he doesn't have it like Brady had it. And now Brady's legendary. Jordan, you know, ball in his hands at the end of the game, it. You know, I'm not sure LeBron has it. You know, like, he's got Kyrie hits
the
big shot.
He's had incredible amounts of success.
But he's not, you know, like, the it where it's like, I want the ball in your hands in the biggest spot. I'm not sure. So, everybody, today the Midday Show had Tom Glavine on, and I joked with Chase, and I was like, you should ask him why John Smoltz, you know, had the stones that he didn't have in big games. Like Max Fried, the Braves starter, I feel like doesn't really have either. And we were joking around. Like, obviously, he wasn't going to ask Glavine that question. But Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux, Hall of Fame pitchers, great regular season pitchers, and had some good postseason starts. But were very underwhelming in the playoffs. Steve Avery, who most people don't even know of, was the 91 NLCS MVP. Steve Avery and John Smoltz, great playoff pitchers. So, in the playoffs, Glavine 14-16 with a 3.30 ERA. Maddux 11-14 with a 3.27 ERA. Not bad, but not good. John Smoltz 15-4 with a 2.67. Steve Avery 5-3 with a 2.90 ERA. Steve Avery's a better playoff pitcher than Tom Glavine and Greg Maddux.
Mm-hmm.
But because
I
think some guys got it, some guys don't. Max Fried is the best pitcher on the Braves and has been the best pitcher for the last 2 years. He's 1-3 with a 3.86 in the playoffs. Ian Anderson, who pitched the clincher in Game 6 against the Dodgers and was given the ball in Game 7, and I thought pitched pretty well last year, 3-0 with a 1.47. Some guys got it, some guys don't. So if the Braves win tonight, they'll be up 2-0, giving it to Ian Anderson and his 3-0 record with a 1-4-7 in the playoffs.
Going back to Atlanta.
Going back to Atlanta. If the Braves lose, I'm nervous that they will lose because Max Fried is not a great playoff pitcher. His numbers are more like Maddux and Glavine's and not like Avery and Smoltz's. Time now for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Caroline's is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com, mention promo code GAME, and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit. I hear you. I'm still taking the Braves. I'm taking the Braves on the money line minus 105 because of Max Fried. I love a lefty. I always give the advantage to the lefty. Max Fried is 14-7 and also a lefty with a 3.04 ERA in the regular season. So this is actually the first time in his five-year career that he will face off against the Astros. Fun little fact. He's coming off of his one of his worst outings this year. He gave up 5 runs on 8 hits and 2 walks in just over 4 innings of work against the Dodgers in Game 5 of the NLCS in a bad 11-2 Braves loss. And I think that Max Fried has it enough to be like, okay, that was bad, and I'm going to come back, and this is the World Series, and I want to be 2-0 going back home, so I'm going to bring it tonight, and I think that the Braves get it done.
Last night when Charlie Morton had the bases loaded in the first inning, I wasn't panicking because I felt like Charlie Morton had it. You know, big game pitcher, game 7 of the World Series in his career. Max Fried last year got the ball in Game 6 against the Dodgers for a chance to shut him out, gave up 3 runs in the first inning. They lost the game 3-2. And those are the kind of things that when you've got it, you go out there and you shove Pedro Martinez, Curt Schilling, Andy Pettit, you know, like those guys go out and shove. I'm taking the Astros because I don't believe in Fried. And I thought his start the other night against the Dodgers, closeout game similar to last year, couldn't do it. Now
couldn't
he was great down 1-0 against the Brewers in game 2. So he's a good pitcher.
I
hope to be wrong tonight, but I think he tenses up out there. I think there's something about it. And unlike Glavine and Maddux, who are kind of finesse guys with great control, Fried is a power pitcher. He's got a good fastball and a great curveball. But for some reason, he just doesn't have the ice water in the veins like Ian Anderson, who's going in game 3, I feel like has. When at this point in their careers, Anderson's going to be a great player.
Yeah.
At this point in their careers, I think that Fried's the better pitcher. Tell us about that, U.S.
Caroline's is brought to you by BetUS, America's favorite sports book for over 25 years. You can sign up at BetUS.com. Use promo code GAME for a sign-up bonus on your first deposit.
That's going to do it for us. Everybody, enjoy Game 2 of the World Series tonight. Meanwhile, Smashville Live, Alexander Carrier and Dante Fabro with Robbie Stanley and Chris Mason. That is coming up next. We are back tomorrow. We will see you at 2 o'clock.